WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You know, I haven't taken the mask off this week, but if I feel safe with anyone, and I shouldn't because of the humanity of all of it, it's this guy. And I want to show my face because...
There you go. Show that pretty face.
Warren Moon is here, and anyone who's listened to 31 years of my career of doing this knows... There's Sixto Lescano in the baseball world, and there's Warren Moon in the football. I have to elbow bump you, man. I have bothered you three or four times in our life, but I'll never forget the first Super Bowl I ever went to was in 1992. The reason I got the tickets, John Stedman, who's a Hall of Fame writer, got me tickets because he knew how much I loved the Oilers and how much I loved you, the team. I was traveling around. You lost that terrible game to the Redskins where the kick went wide, right? And around that week, Stedman says to me, "Senor, I'm getting you tickets for the Super Bowl so you can see your Oilers." And so I got tickets for the game, and my buddy John Raffalitas and I were going to Minnesota. And I was convinced you guys were going, and then playoffs happen, you know.
Right.
So I have to go out there. I drove all the way out there in my Jeep with John, and on Thursday night we went to the Target Center, and I'm wearing Bills stuff because I didn't like the Redskins because I'm Baltimore. I'm up on the roof. You showed up on the Jumbotron. Down on the court.
Really?
And I'm like, I got to get a picture of Warren Moon.
Oh, the Timberwolves game.
I got to get a picture of Warren Moon is what I got to do. So I came all the way down on the floor. You took a picture with me. I'm wearing Bill stuff, so it's really freaky. And then the next night, I went to the bathroom, foot of snow. I went to the bathroom on an off-ramp, and my camera went out in the snow.
Uh-oh.
Woke up the next day, I don't have the picture of you and I, and I'm losing my mind. I had my Super Bowl ticket. I just lost my – I wouldn't care about the camera. I just wanted the film out of it. I went back, and there it was, my footsteps from where in the middle of the night. We pulled the car over. The camera's sitting in the
still
snow.
There, huh?
And I have the picture of you and me.
Wow.
I have the – it's 30 years later, 28th Super Bowl since that day I met you. And but I'm even wearing, like, blue for you,
that's
man.
Called perseverance.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I really am. I'm busy. I'm enjoying my kids, enjoying my grandkids, and being busy stealing football. So I'm enjoying life.
Well,
and I'm healthy.
Your name came up not just because you were coming on this week, and I said I got to have Warren Moon on because I'm fanboy, and I mean Johnny Yu's not here for me to be a fanboy, so you're my guy now. Pastorini's still around too.
He's kind to me.
He's kind to me too, but he has a sense of humor with me. Last night we did the Wounded Warriors game, and they invited me out, and I did the play-by-play with JP from Tampa, and we were in Crenshaw
High School.
Not Crenshaw High School, the rival, your rival apparently.
Yeah, Crenshaw. Were you at the high school?
Your name, we were at the Jackie Robinson Stadium.
Yep.
That's adjacent Serena.
That's by Dorsey High School.
It's Dorsey High School. It was the rival, so we were in Dorsey.
Yeah,
but
that's where
all
my sisters went to high school there.
Well, your name came up because the announcer said, "You want to know who went here? Hall of Famer. We got players here. Serena, Venus. That's who's from this name." So talk about your neighborhood a little, because you're an L.A. kid.
And talking
to you here in L.A., we're about 5 miles away from where you grew up.
I played at Baldwin Hills Park, which is probably another 5 minutes down the road from Jackie Robinson. But that's where we played our games. But the park is where we practice. But a lot of guys came out of that park. You know, Keyshawn Johnson came out of that program. Me and James Lofton, believe it or not,
Lofton was
were
the other
on
name
the same team. And we're both in the Pro Football Hall of Fame from the same Pop Warner team.
You sit next to each other at the dinner every year? And
we're together all the time. We're good friends. You know, we were both quarterbacks in high school in L.A. City at the same time. He went to Stanford, and they changed him to receiver. And I was stuck to my guns. I didn't want to be switched, so that's why I went to junior college for a year and then finally went to the University of Washington. But Butch Johnson, Wendell Tyler, all these different guys came out of that program, and very, very good program. So, yeah, a lot of stars were developed in those parks in that area.
What were your opportunities? When, you know, as an African-American quarterback at that point, I don't just mean for the league and you going off to Canada. I mean, all that's legend. But what if we just take a snapshot back in time to you on those fields and what your ceiling was in the minds of other people, not in your mind, but in the minds of other people?
Well, depending on who you talk to. I mean, if it was an African-American, they thought I was going to be a superstar. If it was other people, they weren't so sure.
They thought you were a wide receiver.
Because they wanted to change my position. They didn't think we could play that position. So I knew it was going to be difficult for me trying to play that position as you go up through the levels. I knew in high school, my high school coaches wanted me to play it, but then you go to through the recruiting process coming out of high school. And, you know, I'm an all-city quarterback and made some All-American teams, but nobody wants to recruit me as a quarterback, which is kind of weird. So, yeah, it was just a mentality back then. It had nothing really to do with my ability. I wasn't being judged by my ability. I was being judged by, you know, the color of my skin.
The coaching situation in the league now, you dealt with it 40 years ago as a quarterback. Now we're just the Rooney Rule has been
a disaster.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it. It hasn't worked. It has not worked. All it's done is allowed a bunch of very qualified coaches a chance to interview for jobs. That's about
it. Token interviews.
Yeah, token interviews. But they weren't going anywhere. And so I think it's something that it had good intentions when they first started it, but the owners got around it and circumvented it, and they've been able to still hire the people they want to hire, but still meet the qualifications of the Rooney Rule, which is to interview two African-American or two minority coaches. So they need to go ahead and trash it and figure out a way what they can do to motivate these owners to hire some of these guys who are highly qualified for these head coaching jobs.
I think the hardest part with the league is we love it so much. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You and I were talking off the air. The more money they make, the less money they spend. And that's certainly the case when it comes to this event over 28 years.
Yeah.
Just the integrity of all of it, whether it's Colin Kaepernick, whether it's his coaching situation, whether it's the Dan Snyder situation, there is a shell game going on here and Congress getting involved. It's unfortunate because it wouldn't be that hard for them to do the things the right way and still make tons of money and get tons of love. You know, they may even do better by doing right. And all this end racism and all this stuff and Roger having Coco on draft night and blackballing Kaepernick, I can't be gaslit. I'm 53 at this point. You can't sell me on that. I mean, I love the game.
Right.
Clean it up. Let's get this right.
Yeah, we need to get that part of it right because there's so many other good things about what the NFL is doing, and the game itself is in very good hands as far as all the stars that they have right now, all the young quarterbacks that are in the pipeline. You look at the playoffs this year, unbelievable games through the divisional and championship rounds.
We're not even talking about the officiating.
Yeah, and we're probably going to have a good Super Bowl. So all these good, positive things going on for the league, but there's this one black eye, and no pun intended, that they're not hiring more black coaches. So they need to get that part of it right. And this is a time and an age that we're living in where diversity is important, where inclusion is important, and they need to look at that and focus on it a little bit more. This group of 32 men who are the owners, because Roger can only do so much because he works for those 32 guys. He can't tell them what to do. But he can suggest what is best for them to do, and then they have to still make those decisions. And right now, they're not doing it.
Warren Moon is our guest, the Hall of Famer. Tell everybody what you're promoting here. That's a great picture of you. Look at that good-looking guy.
Yeah, that was back in the day. You know, those were the Costakos Brothers posters that you used to have and put on your wall. And
I would have put this on my wall.
Yeah, and now
that would have been on my wall.
And now
the
Costakos Brothers have taken that to another level, and it's become a digital image of this poster, and it's called an NFT. You've heard a lot of people talk about
that. Non-fungible token.
Exactly.
I don't know why they call it that,
yeah. But it's something that now you can keep digitally, and you can have it on your phone, you can have it on your computer, you can have it on your tablet or whatever it might be, and it's with you all the time, and it's your piece that you own, and you can sell it if you want. You can do all types of different things with it, but it's more of an investment, but you have a more secure ownership of it because of the digital part of it.
My sponsor, Dennis Kalatsos, loves you and loves Earl Campbell. I just want to say thanks to Dennis and give him a free shout out, because if I don't shout him out when I'm doing Oilers, and also Court over at Sporticulture, who's a huge Oilers fan. I love the Oilers because of the colors. I grew up in Baltimore in 1973. Johnny U left, and my dad bought me my first Oilers pennant, and then it was Pastorini and Earl Campbell and Love You Blue and all of that. When you think back to that time in your life and opportunity, I mean, that freaking Bills game comes up. It bothers you more than me, but it still bothers me to some degree because I was so vested in what you do. But all these years later, is there ever peace on any of that?
There'll never be peace on that because you remember more of the losses in your career than you do the wins. And that was one loss that hurt as much as any loss because we had such control of that game. And I thought that team was maybe good enough to get to a Super Bowl. We were pretty talented that year. Even though we only made it in the playoffs as a wild card team, we were starting to hit our stride at the right time. So, yeah, that does hurt, and I try not to think about it, but it does come up in interviews, so I have to talk about it, and it's something I can't shy away from because I was a part of it.
Well, I was proud to be an Oiler fan. I had a good time. It was a good time in my life.
That's a good-looking uniform.
I tell you what.
You know, it's not the most intimidating when you come out of the locker room, but it's a good-looking uniform.
I wore that jersey. I had an Elvin Bethea jersey that I wore in the stands everywhere I went. I got dog biscuits thrown at me in Cleveland.
Oh, so did I.
I went to Pittsburgh. The Jets fans were the worst. Yeah. Even worse than the Eagles fans, quite
frankly.
Isn't
that something, how the Jets fans are like that?
I sat in the upper deck at the old stadium wearing this jersey. It was awful. It was one of the worst days of my life, honestly. And I saw you win games on the road, lose games on the road. But more than that, for you in the position, and you say the Johnny Bravo, you didn't fit the suit because of the color of your skin. This, where we are with Lamar and the way he plays the game, it's a different style of playing the game. I talk about it all the time, that running into linebackers, probably not a good plan. And, you know, running the ball 21 times, probably not a good plan. And after the Vikings game back in November, he ran the ball 21 times, lost to Miami, barely beat Cleveland, and then he never played again. There is a point where the punishment part of it, it's fun. It looks like a video game. You've played that position.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable.
No, it takes its toll over a course of time, and he's still a young guy, which is fortunate, but at some point he's going to become a middle-aged guy in the game of football. So that punishment is going to take its toll. We saw it happen to Cam Newton. We saw how he started out, and he's a big, strong, physical guy, and it wore him down over a period of time. So I worry about Lamar from that standpoint because he's not the biggest guy. He does play a more, not reckless, but a more physical brand of quarterback. And because of that, I hope his career lasts as long as he wants it to. Even this year, he's starting to have some of those nagging injuries that won't go away, and along with the COVID problems. So he missed a lot of games this year. And he's a guy that, as a quarterback, you want your quarterback to be available to you, and he hasn't been that available to him this past year. But hopefully he'll get himself healthy again, and he'll start to get better as a pocket passer, and they won't have to rely on him as much with his legs, even though that's a special part of his game.
Look, man, I'm not going to go through all the CFL and numbers and Houston and Minnesota, Seattle. How late did you play? Did you play in your late 36, 7, 8?
I played till I was 44.
Were you that old?
Yes, sir.
Really?
I just don't look it.
I knew you played into your late. I didn't realize. So you were in Seattle?
I was the MVP of the Pro Bowl at 41.
So it can be done. And we've seen Tom Brady do it.
Oh, we saw Tom do it at the highest level, yeah. He had one of his best seasons this year.
But part of that was you not getting crushed.
Well,
over and over again.
I got crushed, but I just didn't get crushed in the right places. So the good Lord looked over me. I did get some big hits, though.
Well, playing that long, it is about taking care of your body.
And we weren't protected as much as these guys are today.
I have a feeling the AstroTurf at the Astrodome was similar to what we're standing on here in the convention center.
That and the way these guys are told they have to hit a quarterback now. You can't hit them anywhere. Where can you hit them? You're only allowed to hit them about right here. That's it.
Well, did you play baseball as a kid? You knew how to slide.
I did.
Right?
Yeah. I know how to get out of bounds, too.
Well,
that's part of it.
And that's the part that worries me, is seeking contact or thinking, I'll just make this last guy miss, just one guy miss, because nobody's better at making guys miss than Lamar.
Well, he makes guys miss a lot, but he does carry the ball a lot, too. He had, over 200 and something carries last year, and that's a lot of carries for a quarterback. A lot of running backs don't carry the ball that much, so he's putting himself in harm's way a lot every time he carries that football. But he does a pretty good job of making guys miss, but he does take his share of punishment, too.
Well, I'm sorry I forgot you played your 44. I don't want to offend you, man.
Not at all.
I'm too big a fan.
Not at all.
But I didn't have the wiki out. I'm not, like, going through the back of the football card.
I didn't even come to the NFL until I was 27.
Right, I knew that. I knew you were.
I got 17
years. How many
years
yards in Canada for you? 20,000 or something like that?
20-something.
Yeah, well, you played with 7, 8 years up there?
Six.
All right. Well, I say six times 5,000 a year.
Yeah, I was close. I had my last year, I had 5,600.
The Rouge. We had the CFL Colts, the CFL Stallions, for about a minute.
Really?
Well, we won the Grey Cup.
That's right, you did, yeah.
We lost the Grey Cup.
Yeah,
I told the Vancouver guys they'd give me a hard time. BC stole that cup. I mean, they had crooked refs up there. You know. Hall of Famer Warren Moon in good spirits. Thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me on, brother. Thanks for being a fan of mine. I really appreciate it.
I was your biggest fan. Well, I mean, like, I just, you were a part of making me love the game and through all of that in a different way. I mean, look, man, I've covered the Ravens 26 years. I've written two books, two parades. I've done 28 Super Bowls. I own a sports radio station. There was something, and I would admit this to you, and I'd admit this to anybody who's a Raven. I mean, I'm a huge Raven fan. I've loved them. Relationships with Brian Billick, and who's my business partner, on behalf of what we do, one of your friends. Being a true fan, just a fan of the Oilers, where I bug John McClain to get the Oiler News Digest in the paper every week in the late 80s when there was no internet. There was a part of that, and meeting Ernest Givens for the first time at a preseason game at the Silver Dome.
Yeah.
Greg Montgomery, who was a relationship we shared, the late, great Greg Montgomery.
Quite a character on our team.
Yeah, oh, my God. And I love Greg.
A great punter, too.
So I met all these guys. Somebody came over and said they went to school with Ray Childress's kid in Houston the other day. And I'm like, man, the Oiler thing. Chip Namius was running around here, former PR director.
I was texting
director.
With Chip the other day. We were going to have dinner.
He's Mr. L.A. You got to go to an oldie show with him.
Hey,
you
this is my hometown.
So, you know, there all these routes, but there was something about that time where I bought tickets, I got in my car, I put on paint, you know, pom-poms of Columbia blue and wore, and that was a special time in my life because the rest of this has been like work, dude.
Well, I'm glad we got a chance to talk.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
I appreciate
it.
You. I haven't touched many people. Now I got to get all
That's
around
all right.
That.
Go get
I
clean.
Touched the Hall of Famer. By the way, Kurt Warner threw me a pass last, like a real pass.
Did he? Did you catch it?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
All
I
right.
Caught. I would be a Bobby Brady moment if you threw me a pass. Anybody got a football? I got Warren Moon on the set. Hall of Famer Warren Moon, my big thanks to you. My thanks to the Maryland Lottery for sponsoring us as well. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road March 4th to honor my father. We're going to be at Mama's on the Half Shell down in Canton. I'm Nestor. We're live in L.A., hometown of Hall of Famer Warren Moon, Crenshaw, Los Angeles. We're here at Radio Row. Stay
That's
with
a mouthful.
Us.